dbkmediaservices.com.
You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox.
Hello, everybody out in SVC land. This is Bruce Knox, along with a couple gentlemen I will introduce just momentarily, bringing you our Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk, brought to you, of course, by Triple Crown. It's all kinds of fun under one roof. They are located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, just behind the Hampton Inn, open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. You can get all your Cardo's pizza. You can have your parties and events there. Of course, they've got the arcade, the super inflatable land, and now they've got the limousines. And hopefully SVC Sports Talk will be taking a limousine coming up to a game near you. So look for us to arrive in that. Correct, John Bruce, as we welcome you in?
Yes, I agree completely. I think that's how we should be greeted.
Yes. Well, we'll see if that flies. I don't know whether the business center will come up with that kind of cash for us or not. And we bring in Shane Combs, who will probably make that executive decision. Shane?
Yes, if you look outside the studio, you'll notice the maroon four-door. That's not quite stretched out as far as the limousine, but I'll see what I can do.
That has 200,000 miles on it, that one?
Yes. Yeah. Pushing their clothes.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is show 229. It's our eighth season, and we do, again, of course, thank Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Look them up on the web at triplecrownfamilyfuncenter.com. When you think of fun, think Triple Crown. I think that should be their new – I just came up with that, and I think that should be their new tagline.
That's a good slogan.
When you think of fun, think Triple Crown. Will you talk to them, Shane? You do that so well.
They need you on staff.
Well, maybe we could work something out, because I do have so much time on my hands after editing this big show down. It's going to be a big one, folks. I want you to know. We're first going to kind of tease you with a little bit of stuff, and before we get into the meat of the heart of the matter. And Shane, I know something we're going to talk a little bit more on, but you want to talk about it right off the bat, and that's volleyball and Southeastern on the brink of a championship.
Well, they are, and we'll get to some volleyball later in the show. But up front here, we want to look back. It's been 1989. Coach Debbie Mendenhall. Coach Debbie Mendenhall led Southeastern to the SVC title. Now, that was the year before Adina started that insane run of, what was it, 21 out of 22 championships.
Yeah. And
this past Thursday, Southeastern really, really locked in, really played some good volleyball, particularly early in that match as they beat Huntington straight sets. Now they're just a win versus Piketon on Tuesday. I assume that's their senior night. They play Vinton County on Monday, Piketon Tuesday, and that Piketon went at home, so I assume that's their senior night, and that would clinch a share. And then obviously what we'll talk about later would be Thursday would set up Uniota for the outright title, where Uniota's trying to get a share themselves. But here in the opening show, thought we'd hear from a pair of Panthers. They've kind of been in the middle of all this, guys. When you think back, you know, with Coach Hutton in terms of what he's tried to accomplish here at Southeastern, obviously you think of the incredible talent of Ella Skeens over the last 4 years and the role that she played. But really the nucleus, along with Ella, you know, now carrying on as Ella graduates, is Lauren Goble and Skylar Heiss, and the incredible roles that they've played in this rebuild and now playing in this championship run. And, you know, during my answers throughout here, guys, I was just so impressed with the two young ladies and some of their leaderships. I'll tell you what, Bruce, let's start with Skylar here. This is Skylar Heiss after their win against Huntington the other night.
Well, first of all, congratulations. I know this puts you guys in a driver's seat to take care of business next week. I guess I'll start with that. You know, you've been a part of this from, you know, kind of pretty much the start of the rebuild, you know, as you were coming in through junior high and into high school. And it's got to be a neat feeling. Just talk to me about where the program's at and what that means to you.
Yeah, coming in, I knew Jimmy was trying to change our whole program and make it something it hasn't been since 1989. it's been a long process, but it's one that I've been blessed to be a part of.
Now, I've taken some criticism from the Southeastern community here this week, but, you know, we were giving out grades on SVC Sports Talk this past week, and I wasn't trying to be unfair. I was just trying to be honest. You know, you guys are so talented, and you've been a team that I've really enjoyed watching over the last couple of years, but if I was being honest, it just seemed like there was something missing. And I tell you, tonight in the first set, over the course of about 10 to 15 straight points, might have been about as energetic and exciting and just as good a volleyball as you played. Is that fair? I mean, just take me through the season and where you guys are hoping that you still have a level you can get to.
Absolutely. I totally agree with the grade you gave us. We started off really strong. Our summer matches, our first, like, games and everything was just so strong. And we kind of hit a rough patch after that Unyoda loss. I think maybe our confidence was a little gone. And I don't know, but we're getting better. I think we're still missing something, but I think by the time tournaments come around, we'll be good to go.
Well, I have you too. Give me a teammate perspective on what Lauren accomplished last week. Pretty cool.
It's amazing that I'm able to have a teammate like that who accomplishes something so great and so amazing. You know, we watched Maddie Ebers do it last year, who's a great player, and for Lauren to follow in her footsteps and even be maybe better is something amazing to watch.
You know, last question. I know you can take it one step at a time. It's been 30 years since Southeastern's won the volleyball championship. You know, Tuesday you'll have a chance to share it. Thursday a chance to, you know, compete for an outright. And then I know there's a lot of tournament goals as well. How do you as a leader just make sure that, because, man, it's easy for people like me to sit here and talk about a month down the road. How do you just get your team focused in on tomorrow's practice and making sure you stay right in the moment?
We take it exactly like you said, one game at a time. You know, we try not to focus on the next game, not tournaments, not anything except for the next game. To keep them focused, we really actually do a pretty good job of that. We don't really look far ahead, but we focus on what's right in front of us right now.
Well, I enjoyed watching you tonight. Played really well. Best of luck in the future.
Thank you, sir.
Again, that's Skylar Heiss, one of the great leaders on Southeastern volleyball team and really their program over the last two, three, 4 years in terms of what they've stair-stepped here to the top. And guys, you heard her mention in one of her answers about their setter, Lauren Goebel. I had a chance to talk to her too. Bruce, if you're okay, let's go ahead and run that one as well.
Well, first of all, congratulations personally and as your team. Let me start. I know you probably answered this question 100 times in the last week, but when you think of the history of SVC volleyball, to have your name at the top of something like that, it's got to be pretty cool.
Oh, it's pretty unbelievable considering not even 5 years ago our volleyball team was sitting on the bottom of the SVC. And to look at us now that we have a chance to win the SVC, like, it's a huge accomplishment and a huge blessing. So, yeah, it really is.
Well, and that kind of leads me into, I just asked Skylar the same question. You were kind of right at the start of this with what Coach Hutton was wanting to do. You mentioned where the program had been and where it's at now.
Yeah.
For you to be such a centerpiece and for your classmates to be such a centerpiece, talk to me about what that means, just not just this year, but the long haul, how hard it's been.
Well, Jimmy came our freshman year to, you know, he wanted to build this program up. And from freshman year, I mean, we were still learning. Everyone was still pretty shaky, and, like, we definitely weren't on top. Sophomore year we got better, junior year we got better, and now look at us this year. I mean, we have so many key players on our team and young players as well. I mean, there's four seniors, but considering us growing up, we had a lot of young girls that were starters. Mm-hmm. And just to keep building up, it's crazy how Jimmy and Paul changed our program. It really is. I mean, we've progress, like, our progress increases every year. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they work with us so much to get us where we are now, and we couldn't have asked for a better coach, you know.
Sure. Well, and then my last question, I guess, as leaders, you and Skylar, I threw the challenge out to her. I'll ask you the same question. With all the young pieces that you have in place, it's easy for people like me to get on the air and talk about what's going to happen next week, two weeks, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
For you guys, you need to focus on what's going to happen in practice tomorrow.
Yeah.
How do you, when it's been 30 years since Southeastern's won and you see what's ahead of you next week, how do you keep everybody grounded and just focus on the task at hand of just one game at a time, one practice at a time?
I mean, it is difficult. But I am a captain, and we do have a lot of young players out there, and we just have to keep their heads cool because they're still learning the pace of the game. They're still young. They're still trying to keep up with us, and they're watching us. So It's always important for me to show a very good body language, and my body language, I think, affects their body language. So being a leader out there, I always have to stay positive, because I mean, they're watching us older girls and they're learning from us. So really, it's all about the older girls' attitudes. I mean, we just have to keep our heads cool, because if we fall apart, our whole team falls apart. And I mean, they feed off of our energy, and I mean, they're doing great. To have three freshmen pretty much starting, they're doing great. Yeah.
Well, again, individually to you, congrats. I know you're much bigger than that in terms of what your team's trying to accomplish, but that's a really neat thing for you. But best of luck to your team down the stretch here as well.
Thank you so much.
Well, again, that was Lauren Goble, the new all-time assist leader in the history of the Scioto Valley Conference for volleyball, which is just phenomenal. I think just listening to those two leaders gives you an idea of why this program is really where it's at now. You hear Skylar, the way she would credit the teammate. Then you try to talk to Lauren about the individual, and how mature was her answer is the way she just deflected it to team, deflected it to coaches. You know, and then you move forward now. I love John, what she said as a leader about body language is something I talk to leaders about a lot. And some of them just, it takes them years and years and years to get. But your body language and the way you handle yourself through good and bad. You know, Bruce, I won't get too much into it now because we're going to talk a lot of volleyball, Southeastern Union at a later, as well as what's in store for all the other teams. But just two great interviews I thought were worthy to start the show here. And then, like you said, we'll talk a little more volleyball later.
Yeah, and I did think it very interesting that Skylar Heiss knew the grade that you gave last week to Southeastern. So that tells you something. She's listening to you, Shane. So, hey, John, I understand that you spoke with one Sylvia Gray after another perfect regular season, and she's trying to head up to the state for the third straight trip.
Yeah, I was able to catch up with her last week. We talked a little bit about the perfect season, but you know, it's kind of, you know, what you'd expect out of her. But I was also wanting to find out from her, you know, what she worked on throughout the season, if she was still able to work on it, because obviously if she's going to try to get state when she gets there, she wants to win.
Sure.
You know, make an impact while she's there. So a little bit of what we talked about was what she was going to work on, some things to look for in the postseason. If you could play that audio, I'd appreciate it.
All right, here we go.
Well, so my coach throughout the season, since it's kind of easier to win some of the matches, he wants me to work on stuff that I'm not good at. So then when it comes time to bigger competition, that I'll be ready for that. So I'm really bad. I'm not too good at volleying or serving. I need to work on a lot. So usually I work on my serving and going into the net after that. That's usually what I work on.
Is there now, knowing your opponents in this, like the sectional, are you... Do you think you can still work on those now?
Yeah, I can definitely still work on those now. And my biggest competition in sectionals will probably be Megan Downing, the same one in my regular season. So I can definitely work on going to the net, because I lost a game to her this year, and it was because of I was practicing and working on going to the net. So I'll do that again.
I mean, just think about that. She mentioned she lost a game to someone who's going to be her top competition. It's just... It's very impressive how she knows her strengths and weaknesses, and you know, can address them. And it's really impressive that she can go into these matches, lose one game, and working on some of her weaknesses.
Yeah.
You know, on Wednesday she'll be one of eight players contending for the district championship down at High University. They have six players from the Southeast District and two from the East. Another part we talked about was kind of that, but she wasn't sure of the players from the East. But she seemed to have a lot of confidence, and hopefully she can make another run, and I can get down and watch her in person next Friday in Mason.
That is amazing that she's and she is a junior, correct?
Yes.
Wow.
Now, John, remind me and the fans as well, do you have to win the district title to go, or just making the final? Do they take the two?
Yeah, it's in every other district, it's top four. In ours, it's just the top two.
Okay.
And I think if she can make, you know, some noise while she's there, maybe that'll change in the future also, to get a little bit more respect for our district. Because I know there hasn't been a ton of success out of there. Mm. Chillicothe, they had a couple doubles teams, but for the most part, usually the schools that get there lose pretty quickly there. So, and she would get a decent seed. I think she would play the 3 seed from another district if she gets there. I believe that's where the 1 seed from our district plays.
Well, and Bruce, what's interesting about that is, you know, a lot of times that's based on how many kids or how many teams mm-hmm. there would be in your – I've always wondered what would be the long-term effect of Sylvia. You know, 2, 3, 4 years from now, I'm anxious to see how many more tennis teams or kids are playing throughout our area as a result of her success now. That's pretty neat to follow.
Yep. And she said, I think she wasn't very good at volleying. I do think that yeah. she could probably whip us. I really, really, really do.
It would be terrible.
It would be. But congratulations to Sylvia and best wishes yeah. as they go over there. You said that was Friday that's going to be played. Is that correct?
The district is Wednesday.
Okay.
The state tournament would be next Friday.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, before we go to break, I just want to say to those of you old radio people out there, and you know who you are, that I apologize. And now the break. This time of year, championships and tournament runs are at the top of the headlines. Next, we take a look at a few teams preparing for high school's biggest prize. Yeah. Who sang that? Who was that, Shane?
See, I knew if we waited long enough that the bump music would reach an elite level, and now Bruce has come through with some good old school Alabama.
Well, I was going to say, since Alabama sang that, maybe you should let them sing that. So. Well, that
is just so excited that it took me over.
Well, the excitement will continue if that's any indication of what's coming up.
Answers are going to be a lot shorter just to get to the next bump.
Well, we did discuss some tennis there in the opening. Let's focus on other fall sports around the SVC, and this brought to us by North Fork Animal Clinic. Their phone number is 773-PETS. That's 773-7387. Give Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff a call at North Fork Animal Clinic, located at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe, where we care. They're open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 12, and their pet resort, open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, and Saturday and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's North Fork Animal Clinic for all your veterinary needs. Well, Shane, golf wrapping it up on the local side anyway. What say you about that?
Well, it's just exciting. I wanted to give a quick shout out. I know Maddie Schultz comes up one spot short, played really, really well, just maybe a few tough breaks there on the back nine, but what a rookie season for her. Just so fun to follow. I know Maddie individually, as well as that Westfall girls program, going to be something to watch in the future. So congratulations to her on a great freshman season. But then obviously on the boys side, what you said it in the bump, Bruce, going for high school's biggest prize. Mm-hmm. You get to the state level, and what an honor in itself that is. Uniota and Westfall both heading there at Crown Hill Golf Club, the host of the district tournament, Uniota with a 331. They win the championship. Jacob Calvin leads the way as the district individual title at 74, and then Ty Schoblock right behind at 75. And really, guys, Calvin, Schoblock, Calvin, all year long, it just seems like it's been a star-driven team. Gerber and Cottenbach and Steinbrook have all been right there. I know Calvin, Schoblock, Gerber and Steinbrook all at SVC. Cottenbach was honorable mention. Cottenbach comes in there with Gerber with 91s here. Steinbrook didn't play quite as well as he had hoped, but nonetheless, he's certainly been a part of this all year long. And congratulations to Coach Dan Brumman And I think congrats to Tony Taylor as well. I think Tony gives a lot to that staff. Those two have different personalities that really help motivate and reach different types of kids and personalities. So really happy for them. And then, you know, Westfall coming in runner up at 337, they too on their way. I believe all five of these guys made all SVC. I'd have to look at back at our final list there, but you know, Latham and Cook and Walker and Felger and Thornton all throughout the year been a part of it. Latham and Cook with 82s the other day, Walker 84. Felger, who's the fourth place golfer in our league with 89. So it shows you the depth of that team, able to step up and play. But again, Coach Greenlee there, and I think you give a shout out to Kevin Schultz too, who with the girls program and what he does there at Crown Hill to help promote golf at Westfall and in our league. And just really happy for both of them. I know Piketon's Wardridge was shot a 79. He was one off of qualifying individually. That would have been kind of a icing on the cake, so to speak. But that's certainly a respectable round that I thought worthy of mention. And now, I did have a couple questions, guys, about Uniota playing at home in the sectional and Westfall playing at home in the district. People that don't follow golf thought that was kind of ironic. And I certainly understand the question. It's really just kind of where the courses are at and the way things fall. I think teams losing by 40 strokes, 30 strokes, 20 strokes, I don't know that they really have a beef. You know, maybe a Fairfield Union, three shots off. But again, I don't know that Crown Hill is foreign to them with where they're located. But it is an interesting question. But, you know, for now, I just think it's about Uniota and Westfall and what they've accomplished. This Friday, Saturday, they'll be up at Ohio State University, the Scarlet Course, on Friday, with Uniota being the champion. Their five guys will go off somewhere between 9:50 and 10:30 on the first tee. And on Westfall at that same time will be going off the backside on the 10th tee. But the Scarlet's certainly known as the tougher side and or the tougher course than the Gray. It's one of the top collegiate courses in the country. They hold a web.com event there. I know Jack Nicklaus has had his hands on some remodeling over the years, so it's quite a challenge. But man, what a stage, guys, just to get to is our 10 different high school kids here, five from Uniota, five from Westfall, just get that once in a lifetime opportunity to represent their schools and in our league. Just best of luck to them. We're really proud of them, and it's exciting to follow.
And our little look at golf here brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club. Shane mentioned that they're very involved in the SVC and so forth. 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport. Phone number there, 986-4653. And for detailed information, look them up on the web, crownhillgolfclub.com. Now, John, soccer. I know fans can go online to see the soccer brackets, but what's a few things you like or don't like for the SVC as I go into this?
I got to start with the things I don't like.
Okay.
Because the things I like, there's so many of them.
Okay, good.
But the things I don't like, both of the Division II district tournaments are at Logan.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, beautiful field, beautiful campus they have up at Logan. I just really don't like that drive.
okay. And, so you're objecting to the drive. Okay.
Yeah, just I would much rather them go down to Jackson, which is, you know, just as nice of a facility. But, you know, I guess I'll save $2 on parking by going to Logan instead. So really, that's it on the things I don't like. You know, the things I do like, I love Uniota's draws, both the boys and the girls.
Mm-hmm.
The boys are a 4 seed, but they have a very favorable draw to be able to play for a district title. They host Alexander first, so they beat 2-1 in a great game earlier this year. So it'll be very tough for them to get out of the sectional.
Mm-hmm.
But if they do, then they have a really good chance because I have no idea how their side is extraordinarily like not top heavy. The opposite side, the opposite district for the Southeast district is extremely strong. So that's, you know, I like that for them.
Okay.
On the girls' side, I think every team has a winnable first round matchup. It'll get a lot harder from there. So maybe if you throw out a don't like, you know, it gets a little tougher. Where they'd have to face a couple teams would have to face Lynchburg and then someone else would have to face Alexander. But Zane Trace, the girls, they play a North Adams team that they've already beaten. And the reports I got in that game were that they didn't play very well, and they still were able to beat them. Now they have to go to North Adams, so that could be a little more difficult. But it's still, I really like that matchup. The senior back line they have, the Addy sisters, the Lily Clark and goal, I think they have a really good chance to get to the districts. Westfall plays a 10-2-1 Peebles team, but I watched that Peebles team against St. Trace, and I was not overly impressed. I think they are a beatable team, even though they do have a very strong record. They have not played a very strong schedule. So I think that's, you know, that is a winnable game for them. Piketon also, you know, has another winnable game. Southeastern hosts South Point. They can get to the districts. It's just I like our girls' draws. On the boys' side, Zane Trace and Westfall both have a chance to get tournament wins in a season where wins have been pretty hard to come by for them. Zane Trace hosts a winless Sheridan team, and then Westfall has to go to Washington Courthouse. Neither team has won this year. So somebody's going to get off the schneid there. Then of course things get tougher from there. But you know, it's, if you can get a tournament win in a tough season, that's a big thing to build on for the future. And also Southeastern should be able to get a win. I don't love their draw, but it's just Division III in their side is pretty top heavy also. So it's, but I like their chance to get a win and at least move forward.
All righty. We'll be watching for the results of that coming up. Shane, I know cross country kind of winding up on the local level as well. The SEC meet coming up Saturday at Huntington.
Yeah, I wanted to go out yesterday and run that course a few times. No, I'm just kidding. I couldn't even say that with a straight face. But I did do some research. I didn't actually go run, as I'm sure many
that's surprising
listeners wouldn't have bought that anyway.
Yeah.
Obviously the new Huntington course, not very old, just a few years here in the making. Hopkins Family Farm, it's located across from the school there, Roselle Creek 772, where they come together. And so it is one I'm very familiar with as I'm driving that way. A beautiful place, beautiful setting for the cross country. It was described to me, Coach Jeff McGill, as kind of a true cross country course. What was funny about him using that terminology is there was a SVC runner and an SVC coach this week that I talked to that kind of almost used that same terminology. It's kind of a mix of field and trail. Mm-hmm. It has some really challenging hills. Finish line is at the top of a really tough hill, which kind of made me think back in my high school days when I did run a couple years of cross country, the Rio Grande finish, the steep mm-hmm. hill and so forth. But It's a tough finish. He had given me some pictures and some different things, and I'll have that out on the website a little bit later in the week as we prepare and preview the race. But it's tough. It's something that the all SVC spots when you get down through, maybe even a couple team finishes of, is this team going to finish third, fourth, fifth, could really be dictated on that hill. I think that's really kind of a unique characteristic of this particular course. But Coach McGill wanted me to throw out a good luck to all the SVC boys and girls, high school and junior high. And they're very honored to be the host this year. Mm-hmm. You know, the boys, Zane Trace girls seem to be the favorites that I'm hearing as I kind of, you know, survey throughout. You know, the junior high races are also kind of intriguing because they talk about how, you know, you get a kid in the eighth grade, start to run times, and you start to realize, man, a year from now, you know, cross country is one of those sports, guys, where there's no real defense, so to speak. If you can mm-hmm. run it, you can run it. You know what I mean? So if you can, you know, a lot of times these eighth graders coming up, so a couple coaches even excited about the junior high races coming up and so forth. So we'll obviously, as always, have all the results posted there on the site. But certainly this is the one weekend here finally where cross country is not a sport where you play a league round home away, or you don't have league matches or league meets like you do in golf. This is kind of the one day winner take all. So this is kind of the one weekend that cross country takes center stage, and we're excited to cover it the best we can.
Hopefully we'll have some cooler weather by the time that that takes place. I think it's supposed to get out of the 80s by Thursday or Friday. So we'll be looking for that. All right, guys. With three regular season football Friday nights remaining, this week's headlines. We'll look back at Week 7, ahead to Week 8 showdown, and a few other intangibles as well.
If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot, but not for Louisiana man. So raw's enough that both are faded love, and let's all dance. If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band.
Gotta have a fiddle in the band, gentlemen.
Well done. Two for two so far.
All there right. You go. Okay, well, we'll keep trying. We've got one more bump coming up a little bit later. Maybe it'll surprise you. Who knows? Hey, guys, this week's football discussion sponsored by Crown Hill Golf Club. Mentioned them earlier. Located 9500 U.S. Route 22 West and just outside of Williamsport. Give them a call, 740-986-4653. This summer weather ain't going to be around all that long, we hope. Need some nice fall time to golf out there. Still look up their website for all kinds of detailed information. And when you call them, tell them the boys from SVC Sports Talk sent you. They'll work you a deal up there, I'm sure, if you mention Shane Combs. I understand he has a lot of stroke up there. Get it? Stroke?
Yeah, it must be my beautiful golf swing.
That's it. That's it. Well, guys, the format that we use to discuss the football, it's been a couple weeks. I think once we did something else, I think, as well. We give headlines, and since it's football, we do the first down, second down, third down, and fourth down headlines. And this gives us an opportunity to talk about a lot of different people, a lot of different SVC athletes. So we're going to stick with that for this week as we discuss football. And I think John got to go first. So I'm going to go back and say, Shane, give us your first down headline for football.
Well, guys, with it being first down, I think I have to go before the week even started. This first down came on Thursday night. My brother Matt, who helps me with stats during a really busy time, I appreciate that. We were taking a look at the stat update, and he was sharing some different things. We were talking back and forth, and so my headline is going to be Jamarcus jaw-dropping even in absence. When you look at the stats and you look at where Carroll is at compared to some other people, it's phenomenal. You take a kid like a Ruby or someone like that, you're talking about someone who may still need like two more weeks in the week 9 or 10 to pass him up on the yardage. When you look at scoring, it's kind of the same type of situation here in the next week or two. But it kind of reminded me, guys, what kind of special year he was having. But then it also made me, as I started to prepare for the week, I started to understand and appreciate these teams at the top, how they're doing it with balance. You know, we've talked in the past about how good, you know, Ruby is. But, you know, when you look at Ruby and Nusser, they're almost going to combine for about 2,000 yards. Eisen, Cockrell, Mettler, all going to push 2,000. I know last year with the injuries with Eisen and Cockrell at times, Mettler just wasn't quite physically where he's at now. I mean, Lane's is a physically impressive looking kid now compared to a year ago in the job he went. I know McDonald took on a lot of wear and tear on the body last year, and it just kind of this helps spread it out. You know, we talked about how Paint Valley, John's highlighted every week how many different kids carry it, how many different kids catch it. And, you know, this past week against Zane Trace, Eisen, 97 yards, Mettler, 83, Cockrell, 60. But what's equally impressive guys is the carries go 15, 14, 13. Mm-hmm. So everybody, even in the week 8, week 9, week 10, week 11, is going to stay fresh and be performing at a high level. Plus, it also gives them the opportunity to play both ways, where I know a lot of coaches try to not do that. Some of these kids are able to go out on the defensive side and also make an impact. So you see it with the Adina backs, with Throckmorton, Sykes carrying it, Matsker, Cottrell. It's just phenomenal. So I would really encourage fans each Thursday night, Friday morning, whenever we try to get them on there, to check out our stats, because stats after 2 or 3 weeks can be a little bit misleading. We're starting to get to a point now where the stat sheet really tells a story. You know, like going in the other night with Lynn and Fogelsong averaging almost 20 yards per catch, and I get a report that Lynn had a couple big catches early, and I see Fogelsong making some big catches. The overall receiving talent of Beelers and so forth. Just the stats across the board, guys, I think really tell a story, both our team and our individual updates.
All right, John, your first down headline.
I first off want to apologize in advance for what my headlines are going to be. I'm embarrassed that I'm going to read these, but I'm also pretty proud of the awful puns and jokes that I'm going to make ahead,
okay,
ahead of time.
All right, we got you.
Yeah. So for first down, I got Ruby Dooby Doo does it off and the Panthers win. I couldn't think of anything better than to use Scooby Doo and Lane Ruby. So I apologize to Lane for that.
Okay.
Yeah, but over 200 yards total offense against Union, 3 touchdowns, the game-ending interception, and then, of course, you know, probably not even mentioned or really paid attention, he had 3 punts that ended up inside the 10-yard line, and then 2 that were down inside the 3, including 1 late that made it to where Union was going to have to go 97 yards to tie the game against mm-hmm. them. Just really impressive. Thurston Nusser ran the ball really well. John Winfield had a great interception also for the Panthers. Really impressive team overall. I really look forward to that game on Friday night.
All right. Well, you'll have to include that when you tweet this out, this episode
yes.
out, when because that's a winner in my book. Well, and right. why don't you hit us with your second down pun headline?
All right, this one's not really a pun. This is just me being smart.
Okay.
Yeah. Coach Holland's Cerberus keeps the Bearcats perfect. Cerberus is a multi-headed monster from Greek mythology, of course.
Wow.
We all know that. And you know, 240 yards rushing, 4 touchdowns for Braden Eisen, Lane Mettler, and Ian Cockrell. I just really impressive getting those 3 guys moving and getting the ball down the field, keeping Zane Trace's offense off the field. Like Shane, you mentioned 15, 14, 13 were the carries for those 3. That's great work by the coaching staff to get those guys, you know, even touches and keeping those guys fresh. Just really impressive. And then going back to the Southeastern versus Paint Valley on Friday night. Shane, we're going to that game, right?
Yeah. Sure you're following on Twitter. When John and I do a game together, John will do an awesome job of giving you a lot of play by play and stats and different things. And then I'll try to follow up his tweets on the same thread there with just some opinions and analysis and so forth. So if you can't be there, it's a great way to feel like you are.
All right, Shane, I know your headline will prove inadequate in its structure, but what do you have for our second down headline from you?
Second down is signal caller shining in 2018. You know, guys, I kind of mentioned this in a tweet the other night as I was watching Elijah McCloskey and Preston Sykes. The quarterback play in this league this year is really good. And when we've talked about this being one of the deepest leagues that we can remember in SVC history, recent history here, I think, you know, the reason being is some of the experience and talent of the quarterback position. And obviously, you know, McCloskey, you know, by his standards, probably struggled a little bit the other night and threw 2 touchdowns and ran for another. We mentioned Ruby, 200 total yards and, breaking runs, and he had 3 total TDs. Zach Gibson's really come on the last couple weeks. They scored 60 the other night. I haven't been able to get a stat update, but I'm assuming he had something to do with that.
Yeah.
You know, keep in mind, Galloway out for Piketon right now. He threw for 2,000 yards last year, and now Kanan Pack comes in, and what's he do? He goes 215 through the air for two scores and 142 on the ground in a score. Newland at Paint Valley, he's doing a great job running that team and managing, and when needed, he's made some really clutch throws. I think John and I both agreed that he made some really quality throws with the game on the line against Uniota. That completion percentage is way up, and he's playing winning football. And then what I love about it, guys, is the young talent. You know, when you watch this Sykes kid from Medina can really, really play. You almost feel like you're watching Elijah McCloskey a year or two back, and it's kind of that star in the making, and he's getting ready just to take off even more and more. But he can really, really play, and he does it in all phases of the game. He gets involved. You mentioned – you know, the way Ruby's impacting the game in a lot of different ways. Sykes has a lot of those Ruby characteristics as well. You know, Shanton and improving and giving the big play. He's on pace to throw for about 1,200. And then, you know, I thought the kid I was really proud of the other night, John, was Leffler. Here's a kid who's gone through kind of a tough critique. And what's he do? He goes out the other night and he passing and rushing just shy of 100, gets a TD. Made it sound like he made a big-time play. One of the really, really tough calls of the season. Kind of could have turned that game a completely different way. But again, his play and his effort going. I just feel like we have really good quarterback play across the board here, and I think it's made for what we have, Bruce, in the league this year, which is some pretty good football.
Yep, sure do. Mm-hmm. All right, Shane, your turn to head us off on third down for your headlines.
All right, well, let's go third down. Tell of the tape says two different things. Yeah, I think what happens here is we get ready for Friday night. John and I will be there. You know, Paint Valley and Southeastern, they're so elite and complete is what I would call it. It's tough to get a feel how this thing's going to go. And that's why I say tell of the tape says two different things is, you know, something has to give here a little bit. Both offenses are up toward the top of the league. We don't have by Wednesday or Thursday, hopefully I'll have those team stats updated, but you're basically going to be right around 76 total points per game between these two opponents. And then two of the elite defenses only going to combine for 2021. So I guess my question, you know, John, what are we in for? Is it going to kind of meet in the middle somewhere? Are we looking kind of like a 24-30 type score range? Are the PATs going to be really important? The special teams you mentioned Ruby as a kicker. I thought one of the big plays in the Uniota Paint Valley game was the clever fake punt, where again Coach Holland and his staff getting Eisen and Cockrell involved and making big plays in the special teams. So return kids are dangerous. Kicking game is important. That makes it tough for me to see, guys, because on one side you look and you think, okay, it could be one of those crazy slugfest, you know, high-scoring type things. Then you could certainly envision a game where these defenses get stingy and goes down. You assume it'll meet in the middle somewhere, but I think that's what's so intriguing about the game is going in, there's so many different scenarios to play out that I think that's going to make for a really fun matchup. And don't underestimate the Zane Trace Adadina game with playoff chance and SVC chance, because I said it all year long, people getting to the point where they're saying this Paint Valley Southeastern game, SVC championship game, don't sleep on Adina. Very good football. Remember what I said about schedule. Adina really caught a bad break when you consider when they played Uniota and all of this, because if I'm being fair, Paint Valley plays Uniota that last 8 minutes without Carroll. Southeastern plays them completely without Carroll. Adina was up 7-6 in that Uniota game at halftime. So I just wanted to throw that in there to be fair. I think Southeastern and Paint Valley have separated themselves here, and rightfully so, getting the headlines this week. But Adina just keeps kind of lurking and keeps getting better. That's just something I would throw out there for SVC fans to keep an eye on.
All right. Third down from Mr. Pun-O-Matic. Do we have another pun for us?
Yeah, it sort of is. It's a reach.
Okay.
I'm gonna go on the other end with a matchup. But Huntsman and Red Streaks prepare for a matchup that would make Edison and Tesla proud. So we've got the two defenses in the league that give up the most points. A couple of offenses that can really score. That scoreboard's gonna get lit up just like in the late 19th century and when Edison and Tesla were feuding.
I feel intellectual.
John's going to have like SVC fans like googly. How you spell that? You know?
Tesla. One's AC, one's DC. That's all I know.
I thought I'd go with some stuff.
I like it. I like it, John.
It's better than the wordplay I was going to go with.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, since it is a family show.
Okay.
So, you know, they're going to light up the scoreboard more than likely. Piketon gave up 60 points last week, but scores 30. We've seen that Huntington can score, but they have a harder time getting stops also. Piketon's offense looks like it's getting rolling. I mean, Cannon Pack with over 350 yards of total offense last week, Isaac Little and Scott Lytle each having over 100 yards receiving. You know, obviously Elijah McCloskey, Seth Beeler for the Huntsmen. Obviously Southeastern Paint Valley is the game of the week, but maybe just if you love offense, getting down to Piketon this week to watch this game for an offensive bonanza, it would be worth the trip and the price of admission. Those are two teams that have a lot of pride and are going to play really hard. Huntington has a chance to get to 500, a guaranteed 500 season with a win. I think it'll be a fun matchup. I mean, it's just something to watch for. And I know while we're at Southeastern, I'm definitely going to be following B-Daddy and seeing his updates.
All right. I hate to ask it, but you're up first, I believe, here on fourth down. Is it going to be intellectual or a pun?
It's going to be a couple movie references.
Oh, okay.
Can you dig it? The Warriors have come out to play a year ahead of schedule. So
I got nothing.
Yeah. It's from the Warriors. It's from the late 70s. It's kind of overrated, but it's like Shaq at Lakers victory parades would just yell out, "Can you dig it?" And that's
okay.
Why I watched it.
Okay, if you say so.
Yeah, it's decent.
Okay.
Headline. Yeah, you're welcome. They have three tough weeks remaining, but Adina, you know, they've put the league on notice that they're still for real and they're still after the SEC championship. They have to win this week. I mean, they obviously have to win out, but they win this week. They have Paint Valley and Southeastern the last 2 weeks of the season. A win this week will all but guarantee a playoff spot for them. And then they would be playing with one league loss. If they went out, they're going to win the league, at least get a share of it. Mm-hmm. I know people have said that they are the team of the future with a lot of youngsters. Sykes, Metzler, Throckmorton, Fogelsong, Bennett, all these guys making plays every week. Garrett Clark doesn't miss extra points. That's a huge thing. I mean, that can get them a win alone. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they had to have a lot of confidence with that 5-1 start. Shane, like you mentioned, they got a little bit behind the eight ball on the scheduling with facing Unita when they did. But at the same time, they are for real. And I mean, they're a very good and dangerous football team. I'm excited to see how they do this week and in the last couple weeks.
All right. Shane, you're fourth down.
Well, I think we've been talking about all of these different things and these different matchups and the different players. I think I'll just stay real basic in the fourth down with love your linemen. I think it's so important that these guys that are racking up all the yardage and these offenses are scoring all these points. If you look at the top half of the league to the bottom half of the league, I've already talked about how I think we have great running backs and great receivers and great quarterbacks all the way through. I really think the difference, as it usually is in this sport, is right up front. The job that Southeastern and Uniota and Paint Valley and Adina do in the trenches is something that's become really impressive. I think Zane Trace is even kind of self-admittedly just not as physical as maybe they were during their 4-5-6 year heyday there. Westfall, Huntington, Piketon, you know, they're certainly okay up front, and they certainly have some athletes to the outside. But I think that's what I really see when I see these matchups from top half to bottom half. And it's not just offensive line guys, it's defensive line. when I think back to the Westfall Final Four team, I remember watching them in like week two against Circleville on or third, maybe week three on field level there at Westfall. And I remember watching their line play against such a bigger school at the time and thinking to myself, I don't remember ever seeing an SVC team this big or physical just in terms of and their line play. And that's not even counting all the incredible athletes that were on that team. But as the year went on, that's kind of what dictated, you know, their ability to play elite. And I think that's why, John, I think not only down the stretch here, I think that's why our league is going to be able to compete into week 11 or 12 better than it has even in years past. Because I think we can match up. When you watch these defensive lines play, they're holding their own. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, when Carroll was healthy or Ruby or some of these kids, Ice and so forth, there's still big runs to be had. But for the most part up front, they're competing. And so I think that's just something to go. And I love what John said there in fourth down, Bruce, because I had in my notes to ask John if he thought Adina – was a year ahead of schedule. Mm-hmm. And he kind of answered that for me because I was thinking the same thing. You know, as quiet as they've been in all this, I think a lot of times what happens is when you lose in week four, of course, is the opening week of SVC play. Sometimes you're the forgotten one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now here they are just kind of quietly going along. Zane Trace will be quite a challenge for him, but if they're able to win, we're going to be sitting here on the show next week still talking about more showdowns coming in week 9 and 10, and that's what makes it fun for us.
All right, gentlemen, thank you so much for your first, second, third, and fourth down headlines, and special kudos to Mr. John Bruce as he took it to the next level, as I said, John, appreciate that, and we'll look forward to, who knows, maybe next week we'll have some more stuff. We'll turn this into a competition, Shane.
I'm sorry in advance to everyone that's listening. I had to keep doing it now.
Yep.
Exactly. If Shane does it too, it's gonna.
Well, Shane's a language arts teacher, so you know you'd think he'd be, you know, it'd be right up his alley. Although he may not know who Tesla and Edison were or something. I think he knows who they were, but what?
Yeah.
You know. Gentlemen, up next, we solve the volleyball championship puzzle, and we analyze the postseason brackets as well.
Well, life ain't all that easy, I can testify to that. It's been up and down and round and round to get to where I'm at. See how I'm living in this old car I drive. Well, you'd probably wonder.
I couldn't bring myself to pull that one down, Shane.
Hey, you really had your A game this week. I mean, when you're talking 40 number one hits or more,
yeah.
I mean, how do you narrow it to three? But not bad. I have to give Bruce two thumbs up this week.
Well, they hit me with all these interviews to edit, and then I thought, well, let's just go ahead and do it all this week. Make Shane really, really happy as we have this episode number 229. Guys, we're going to talk volleyball, brought to us by the North Fork Animal Clinic. We talked about them earlier, too. Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff, where we care. They're open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, 9 to 12 on Saturday, and the resort, of course, 7 to 7 on Monday through Friday, 9 to 6 on Saturday and Sunday. They're located at 2260 Anderson Station Road for all your veterinary needs. So, gentlemen, let's talk a little volleyball.
Now, I want to give a special shout out to Norfolk Animal Clinic.
Okay.
I take all 78 of my cats there, and the pet resort, they are outstanding. They do a great job, and they will get you your animals back really quickly as you're ready for them. Once you make an appointment, it's I mean, Blake's a great guy and he has a great staff there. I'm glad they're a sponsor because, you know, it's a place where I take and trust my animals.
It sounds like you've got 78 cats. You use them a lot.
I, it, if you'd see my Instagram, you'd probably think I had that many, because it's a lot of cats, a lot of cat pictures. It's not a great follow.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, I didn't know we were having a testimonial, Shane, but we'll let John take us into a little discussion here of volleyball.
All right. So, Shane, without looking too far ahead, I mean, obviously both teams have matches on Tuesday, pretty winnable matches, but at the same time, they still have to take care of business. What can you tell us to look for in Thursday's match at Uniota between Southeastern and the Shermans? Will more than likely be a pseudo-SVC championship match. I know Uniota won the first match, but is there anything really to look for in this one that might change the tide towards Southeastern's way?
You know, John, I have some things in my notes here. I thought I would first start the segment. The other night, you know, we started the show with Skylar and Lauren. I also had a chance to talk to Coach Hutton, and it was a little bit of a longer interview, and he and I talked about a lot of things. And, you know, Jimmy and Paul and I were just talking volleyball, and I really enjoyed it. But, Bruce, I thought I would pull out about three clips, if that's okay. Mm-hmm. The first one, I was just asking him about the team over the last month.
Yeah, the last month has been kind of rough because we had, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we had homecoming week, and we had some stuff going on, just like I just told Mike on the radio. You know, we had some things going on, some of the girls, and their minds were not into it, especially against Uniota. That was a bad night. Lauren had a rough night that night. But we got through it, and tonight, or last night in practice, right at the end of practice, we do this one drill. It's a competitive drill. And, I mean, the girls were going after every ball. They were diving on the floor, and there was long rallies. It was 5-on-5. There was long rallies. And we told the girls, said, this is what we need right now. And the first set, that's what you seen. They weren't letting nothing hit the floor. Everybody was clicking. And then, for some reason, you win a good set. It seems like the second game, they always come out and just lay down. I don't understand it. Me and Paul's trying to figure it out. Every coach tries to figure that out.
If you figure it out, let me know before spring.
Yeah, really. But we ended up, you know, coming out okay in the second set. In the last set, we kind of got into a little click again.
Yeah.
Where they, you know, they kept everything off the floor and they were attacking the ball. We kept Huntington out of system.
Well, and again, yeah, Coach Hutton, talking about that, it kind of leads me into my next point here, guys. You've heard me talk a lot about one of the biggest keys, John, I think, is in the service game. It, you know, on the one side, Southeastern has that philosophy with the aces, and when you look down through the stat sheet, you get that it's a situation where, you know, you will not see a lot of Southeastern kids with high percentages. You'll see kids that are but much higher in aces. So what you get in that risk reward is they might be trying to hit a tougher spot, or they might be trying. I thought the other night in the Huntington match, they really served the ball well. And as a result, you'll get Longheed and Lockwood and Goble and Heist. They're all right there. A little tidbit. Don't underestimate the return of Wheeler. Wheeler's another young kid who did not play in that first Uniota match, and she has kind of a unique serve in terms of some of the things they did. Now on the other side, though, with Eldridge and Pinkerton and Coleman and Cottrell, those are all kids that are top 9 percentage in the league. So Uniota's just not going to miss very many serves. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to beat themselves. In that case, it comes down to serve receive. So I think that's where Pinkerton is very important on the one side. And then I think, you know, Southeastern serve receive. I asked Coach Hutton about this very thing, guys, where I thought they got a little timid in the first match. And as I watched Zane Trace knock off Uniota, I thought Bennett and Zane Trace's ability just to stay relentless on the attack was the difference. Here's what Coach Hutton talks about with serving and staying on the attack.
Yeah, that is the key, and that's our game plan every game. Me and Paul, we want to serve aggressive and get them out of system, and we want to attack the ball. You know, we got possibly 5 hitters coming. If everybody's clicking, we got 5 hitters coming at you from all sides of the net. You know, Jeff Bodie had a real good game tonight.
Yes.
Haven't seen it for a couple weeks. I don't know what went off inside of her head, but she was hitting the ball like she was last year.
Mm-hmm.
And Skylar, of course, is just solid all the time. She's like, you know, the rock out on the floor that, you know, keeps us in the games, and then until the other hitters get warmed up, you know. And Lauren's not afraid to set the ball across the net. She feeds the ball evenly across the net.
Sure.
And that's why she's our quarterback.
Well, and again, he mentioned Goble spreading the ball across the net. I think she's really got to be sharp in this. Again, Uniota is a team that doesn't put a ton of pressure on you with their serve, so there's really no excuse for Southeastern not to be sharp in their serve receive. And it's Goble's job as really one of the elite setters to ever play in this conference to distribute the ball properly and kind of offset and move the Uniota block around. Uniota is so big. I mean, they're so relentless at the net with their size and their length that if you become predictable as a setter and you allow the block or sometimes the double block to get there on time, you're really giving your hitter no chance. So I think that's a big, big factor. But I think if Pinkerton can give Eldridge and give Coleman an opportunity to do the same on the other side, McGlone and Fisher could really take the match over. I think there's some good depth of size there with Uniota, but I still just think it comes back to – it doesn't always have to be an ace, guys. Sometimes it's just a tough serve that maybe takes them out of system that results in the one free ball to allow them to come back. The last point I had in my notes, John, I thought what you said that Jackie Kello mentioned about adjusting to kind of coming out to Uniota and being everybody's best shot. I think there's something to be said to that. I think these girls are getting better and better at accepting the big stage. And I think this is why this game at the end of the year not only plays a big role in our league title, but also helps both of these teams moving forward into the postseason, because I think it kind of helps them play in a tournament atmosphere. And, you know, Uniota's kind of had Southeastern's number. So when you look at the job Coach Stolle has done in terms of taking, she's the one last year that loses the all-time assist leader in the history of the SVC at the time and ever. She loses a Taylor. She loses a Hall who goes on to play college volleyball. Mm-hmm. She loses some very, very important pieces, and now she's bringing 10 kids together and has done an amazing job following up. Here they sit, 18-2 with two to play. Mm-hmm. So just a lot of fun. Really, the winners become people like me who just get the – sit down and watch it. So the last thing I will throw in there, Bruce, was that last comment. You can't help but come back to almost a 30-year drought. And I asked Coach Hutton about that challenge ahead.
Yeah, that's something we've been talking about. We don't talk a whole lot about it because we don't want them to think about it. But it was originally in the first half of the season, it was the goal of getting the Golden Volleyball because he'd never won one out here. That's always been my goal. So that's not accomplishable now because we got one loss, and it was to Uniota. We got Benton County, Plankton, and then Uniota on Thursday. So we have a chance to really make history, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're striving for. We tried to keep the girls focused on our game plan.
And again, that's Coach Hutt, and I appreciate his time the other night. And I was able to really watch Uniota and Southeastern several times here in the last couple of weeks. So I think we're in for a great match, John, but those are kind of the keys that I had down. I'm really looking forward to it. What gets buried in this, John, whenever you end the league with a match like Uniota and Southeastern, to me, what gets lost is all the different things that happen at the end of the year. And people who don't know that I think the world of the job John does in terms of all the roles he's played on coaching staffs throughout his career and what that's meant to the varsity programs at the particular schools he's worked at. So I think you're the perfect person to ask this, John. When it comes to building a program, I want you to look at the final standings. You know, so when I look at where the standings are now and I see Zane Trace versus Adina, or Adina versus Westfall, or I look and see maybe a Huntington-Westfall rematch, and I look how tight the standings are. Zane Trace 7-5, Huntington 7-5, Adina 6-6, even Westfall 5-7 could have a winning week and get back to .500. You know, how much How much is the difference between, say, a third and a sixth place finish, or you know, your JV team maybe finishing off winning a league, or your JV team maybe getting to an X amount of wins, or in the junior high tournaments coming up mm-hmm. that we'll highlight on the website? What can those things mean into your off season, the next season, future of the program, from your experience?
I think. Winning, I'll go to the lower levels first, but you know, winning at the lower levels doesn't always, you know, mean anything for the varsity in terms of success. But if you win at those lower levels, so you have, say, you finish fifth in the league, but you win a couple matches, you upset the one seed, and let's say you lose in the championship in the junior high tournament, but that alone can keep a lot of interest in some of the girls going into the summer. They might say, oh, hey, look what we did. We had some success. Let's keep working at this, see where we can take it. And that builds depth. I think winning at the JV level, you know, winning the league is great when you're doing it, when you're part of the team. But, you know, you're building for that varsity level. But if you get wins, kids see success. It helps build excitement, and excitement can build a program. I mean, I've been a part of a program that we went 1-20 in a year, mm-hmm. but getting that one win, and then we go into the summer and the kids are hungry for it. The next year they win 8 games. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, there's kids that went through as sophomores winning 1 game, then they win 8 games. The next year they win 14. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's huge, because, you know, just having a little success. I mean, the year we won 1 game, we had, I think we went like 12-8 in the JV. You know, giving kids confidence as they go through is huge to build a program. One of the things I try to do is, you know, teach kids fundamentals, teach kids the right way to play, but also it's got to be fun. Because fun will help bring these kids back, get them to work harder. And I think, you know, let's say Westfall gets a couple wins to end the year, finishes at 500 in the league. That's something to build off of for next year. Say, okay, well, we finished 500. If we didn't let a couple early matches slip away, we're right in the thick of things to finish third. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then you can build off that in the future, where a couple losses may actually hurt more than, you know, obviously, you know, you want to win anytime you put on the uniform. Right now, I don't have to put on a uniform. I can just go out and play whoever I'm playing. I'm playing to beat. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you win, that's great, but you also have to, go about things the right way to help build the program. And I do think I'm really interested in watching this week to see how those teams in the middle do and what they'll be able to build off of for next year.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
All right. Hey, Shane, I know beyond the regular season here, what's your reaction to the tournament brackets?
I think for me, guys, it's just – and this is the coaching side of me. I think the whole process is what just continues to bother me a little bit. The brackets certainly made people take a second look, made me take a third look.
Yeah.
I sent a text or two out to some different coaches to make sure I was reading the bracket correctly. And, you know, we continue to have a bad system. I don't even know what analogy I can give. Maybe like I don't know, a circus maybe. Close your eyes and imagine the elephants mm-hmm. coming out, some clowns on stilts, and, you know, a human sticking his or her head in the lion's mouth. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things that you kind of open your eyes and you'd be looking at the voting process. It's and we're all to blame, coaches included. I mean, the schedules are so packed. They're looking for different ways. You know, people are working 80, 90 hours a week with their real jobs and their coaching jobs. And we get this technology that comes along, and we think, okay, we no longer have to make the extra trip. We'll do it online. And, mm-hmm. you know, now people hide behind a computer, and they can really mm-hmm. manipulate the system. So I'm not here to put the blame on anyone. You know, what happened to kind of Southeastern there in D3 is interesting, to say the least. Yeah, I understand the Alexander thing, because, you know, they're a conference champ, and they do have the 16 wins. So I understand how it's – if it's close enough – support your conference, support your league, take care of your kids. That's fine. But the Zane Trace thing confuses me. And people listening to the show last week know that I think Zane Trace had an incredible year. But you know, Southeastern does beat them twice. They're four games ahead of them as we sit here in the standings. Two more overall wins, three less losses. I don't know. So, but at the end of the day, as one coach said to me today, it is what it is. And, you know, you start to look at the brackets. I love how Westfall Dean kind of stayed away from some of the SVC. I think they have some draws that can make them sleepers and dangerous teams. Southeastern Huntington kind of forced to beat up on one another. But hopefully at the end of the day, you know, we only get two out this year instead of three. So we already knew that it was going to be tougher. Mm-hmm. Hopefully at the end of the day, we still get us an all SVC final in a couple places there and we get someone out. But I love Paint Valley's draw. What they've done in the non-league this year gets them in a situation that they haven't been in a long, long time. It won't be easy. But they go on the road to play a team that they have beaten this year in a long marathon match. So that's interesting. I love Uniota's draw. I think they're in a position to do some special things too. So at the end of the day, it is what it is. I think my beat, guys, isn't necessarily on the way the teams were seeded as much as it just shows us that we've experienced this in multiple sports, that this procedure is just – has a lot of things that need tweaked, and that's the thing. But beyond that, one particular thing. Overall, I like where our league's at, and I see no situation why we couldn't get as many as three, maybe even four or five teams to a district, and then maybe district final match. So that's exciting to watch. So that's kind of where we are this week. I encourage people to. Yeah. Take a look at the brackets and to get ready for a great stretch of down the stretch. Good luck to Uniota and Westfall Golf. And guys, I certainly won't cut you off here. Any final thoughts or contact information, Bruce, you want to get out there?
Yeah, I was just going to say, if anyone else has more opinions about the tournament brackets or perhaps the way John did his headlines in the football segment or anything like that, let me give you some contact information here so you can get a hold of these gentlemen and let them know what you think. Shane is available via email at admin1@svcsportzone.com. He is on Twitter with the handle @svcsportzone. And, of course, always use that hashtag #svcsportstalk. And he also maintains two profiles on Facebook, Shane Combs, SVC Sports Zone, and svcsportszone.com. For John, his email is jbruce1018@yahoo.com, and his Twitter handle, @coconutwallpapa. And, of course, he also uses that SVC Sports Talk hashtag as well. And we want to always mention Derek Webb. When he covers the SVC, he does so on his account at @DWEBBWRITES. That's D-Web Writes. That's his SVC account. And then if you want to follow him for all his Buckeye news and information, it's @DW1509, the verified account. So there you have that, Shane. Also, if you don't like Alabama, I'd like to hear about it.
Well, I can tell you
if you
this,
don't like
yeah.
Well, I was just gonna say, if you don't like Alabama, there's something wrong. I don't even like country music. I love Alabama.
Oh, okay, all right.
You mentioned Derek Webb. He did some incredible volleyball coverage this week. Had some soccer as we speak. I know he just emailed me a little write up on the brackets for volleyball soccer. He wanted to get out there on his page. So again, it's been a great addition to our website. Make sure you check that out. And again, if you cannot be at Southeastern Paint Valley this week, I'd encourage you follow John there on Twitter, and I'll be commenting right along with him as we'll try to cover Paint Valley Southeastern in detail for you. So guys, really exciting. I look forward to some of these postseason things getting started. And then obviously we're in for a treat of a finish in volleyball and football. So on that note, and until next time, we'll get on out of here for Triple Crown Family Fun Center and all the other sponsors on the website. For Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes and at DBK Media Services, and for John Bruce, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting svcsportzone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.